Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a story about a Jewish rabbi who who was teaching his students, and he said, in olden days, there were people who saw the face of God. Well, you don't make that kind of statement without some kind of reaction, and so one of his young students was very concerned and said, well, why in olden days? What about today? Why don't we see the face of God anymore? And the rabbi replied, because today no one stoops so low. You know, this is contrary to what we think, where we would find God. But it says something about what our scriptures say, what Jesus says about where the face of God may be found. Who wants to be a lowly person? Who wants to be stooped down? Most of us might spend a good part of our lives trying to pull ourselves up to make our lives better for ourselves and for those we love. We want to walk tall in the world. But according to this rabbi and his wise teaching, and according to Jesus and the Beatitudes, it is the lowly, the stooped low, who are blessed and who are able to see the face of God. Now, I know we humans in all of our glory often tend to go to the extremes, and this is, I think, one of the most often misinterpreted scriptures, all of the Beatitudes from the different Gospels, and it's easy to misinterpret it, especially with the way this Gospel reading ends. We think that if Jesus is saying that those who are stooped low are blessed, then Jesus must also be saying that people who are not stooped low must be cursed. That people who are doing well for themselves must be cursed, or people who have wealth or who have things or whose lives are going great must be cursed. That is not at all what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is doing is he's setting the scene for us, the stage for us to see just how differently God sees the world than we do. Jesus is there and he's standing on the mountainside, kind of like our painting, I imagine like the painting is representing, with all these crowds gathered around him, and he's talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to all of those many who have gathered around him who are the suffering, the hurting, the poor, those who are stooped low in life. And what Jesus is saying in these Beatitudes is a word that means blessing. He is saying, I see you. God sees you, and God loves you. Now, this is an amazing statement to be making to those kind of people who are following him, to those who are stooped low, those who would not hear any kind of word like, I see you and I love you. Instead, these are the people who are passed by, the people who feel like there is no love for them. Jesus doesn't want anyone to suffer. Nor does he want to condemn those whose lives appear successful or happy in the world. He's not setting up sort of a divine scorekeeping card saying that those who are winners now will be losers in the end. And he's not saying that those who have many things or who are blessed the way the world understands blessing are not blessed. But what Jesus is doing is, with these Beatitudes, is showing us what God's kingdom is about. It's showing us how God sees people. And it's so opposite, so often, to how the world sees people. That in God's kingdom, those who seem anything but blessed in this world are just that in God's eyes. They are blessed. Jesus is pronouncing blessing on those who might not otherwise think they are, or who the rest of the world might not see as blessed. God's blessing isn't about wealth or health or success or wisdom or beauty or any of those things that we typically think of as blessings. So what Jesus is doing by naming these blessings, all of these blessings throughout, to those who are stooped low in life, is offering hope to those who may have long abandoned hope. Anyone who suffers any kind of affliction in body, mind, or spirit. And then what Jesus is doing is talking to those who may not be. And he's encouraging those who might feel blessed, as the world sees it, to show God's love. To be kind and gentle to those who might be suffering, whose suffering may seem greater than ours. And he's saying, when you show that love, then you too will be blessed. See, it's not a curse that if you feel like your life is going well. It's not a curse if you have many things. But it's also not a blessing. Instead, what he's saying is that the blessing comes when we are able to help the lowly, the stooped low. And for that matter, he's encouraging us to gratefully accept the help and care and love from those whose suffering may seem less than ours. For that is when the blessing is received. Blessed are those who are stooped low for any reason, for they will see the face of God, who stooped low enough to die on a cross as a criminal. Now, after all these blessings, Jesus makes two final statements of promise. We heard about these in the Kids in Christ time. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And like the blessings that just came before these two statements, Jesus isn't saying, "You're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be light. And here's what you need to do to be salt and light." He's not telling us something that we need to do to be blessed. He's not making statements about good morals and virtues. Jesus is making a sheer declaration and a promise. With these words, he is declaring it to be true. Jesus, the Son of God, has that kind of power. The Word, who when he makes a word, makes it to be true. So you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And salt and light both have a purpose, right? They do something. And because Jesus says that we are salt and light, we have a purpose. We do something. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to think about, that we won't be able to help but do the things that salt and light do. Just as salt preserves food and adds flavor and maybe makes a meal more special in a way, so our lives and our actions in the name of Jesus would preserve the lives of other people and flavor life in general, making life special. And just as light, well, lights something up, and helps us find our way in the dark, so our lives will shine light into the darkness of others' lives and help them find a way. Because God has created us to help each other and care for the world, we can't help but live into that identity. It's not something that we strive to do in order to be blessed. In order to be salt and light, it is what we are. So this is why I believe we are gathered as church. Whether you are a quote-unquote a member of this congregation or any other congregation, church is such a bigger term. Church meaning the gathered. Wherever you may be gathered, and for this day, gathered here in this place, we're gathered as church not simply because God wants us to go to church, though I'm sure God does, We're gathered as church not just because it's a good thing to do, which I think it is, but we're gathered as church to be salt and light for those who are stooped lower than us. And to do things better as a whole body of Christ than we could do on our own. For it's in serving and blessing others that we will understand God's kingdom, understand how God sees all people. It's in stooping low that we find the Christ crucified and risen. And my, look at how God has gathered us. Today we gather for an annual meeting. And I know sometimes you think of annual meetings as different organizations as the ho-hum, you know, this is something we have to do. But this is a celebration, too. A time for us to look back and celebrate all those ways that God has gathered us to be salt and light. And to look forward and to pray for God to continue to send us out. A few ways, I mean, we get to celebrate today. If you think about the fact that here we are talking about salt and light, and we have Sky Ranch as our guests. Sky Ranch, a gift that's been left by many who have gone before us, a place where people can be gathered in a beautiful setting and be filled with God's Spirit, where we send over 20 youth and children every summer, thanks to the support of many in this congregation. A place to be and to learn salt and light. We're blessed to serve the children and the families across the street at Monroe Elementary School and the faculty and staff there, with countless volunteers here from Zion who read with children or tutor them or who do tasks for teachers so that those teachers can spend more time on their tasks that they're called to teach. We're blessed to be salt and light as we're an integral part of all the things that House of Neighborly Service does, including our ministry with Interfaith Hospitality Network, which happens to be starting this afternoon, where we house homeless families and we feed them and we interact with them as community here in our building. We are blessed to be salt and light in all the ways that we grow in faith together, through baptism and confirmation and First Communion and faith formation opportunities, not just for our children and youth, but for all ages, of Bible studies and faith-filled conversations. We're blessed to be salt and light in all of the different ways that we care for people, through prayer shawl ministries and Stephen ministries and parish nurses and homebound communion ministers. And finally, we are blessed to be salt and light as we gather here for worship, to hear God's word, to be filled and sent out, and to hear words of confession and forgiveness. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't always feel like salt and light. We don't always feel like we are following Jesus' command to go and baptize, to go and bless others. But we hear words of confession and forgiveness that help us acknowledge where we've fallen short, and then receive God's forgiveness and love to be sent out again, so that we can go and be, in fact, salt and light. So it turns out that salt and light isn't something that we do, it is what we are. And each time we come to church, we're reminded that whatever our successes and failures, whatever our good deeds or our misdeeds, whatever we've done or whatever has been done to us, our essential identity as God's beloved children, called to be salt and light, has not changed. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It is so. Because a city placed on a hill We hear that image and we see even the image in one of the pictures at the top of this painting. A city placed on a hill simply cannot be hidden. Nor can God's promise in our lives can it be hidden. And so we go out to let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Amen.